everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarpinito, and I'm joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Zaveda.
I have the flu.
Thanks for that energy.
Yep.
That's great.
It's real.
Colin Sparling.
The insomniac. Woo, I'm running off 4 hours of sleep. Yeah, woo!
I figured if Michael Jordan can do it to the Utah Jazz in 1997 Game 5 NBA Finals, win at the end of the game with the flu, damn it, I can do a podcast to talk about these lovely Japanese people. So I'm here. I apologize in advance for any coughing and hacking, but we'll do our best to mitigate. But damn it, I'm here for it.
You know what, y'all? Podcasting is one of those things where you just got to kind of pick yourself up. And we're doing it every week. We're doing it for you guys. And no matter what, we're going to be here. We're going to record the show. We're going to put it out for you every Tuesday. It's going up.
May I also add that I'm heavily, heavily drugged as well. So this could just be extra fun.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah.
Unless you have the flu. The flu gives you a free pass to try all of the drugs you want.
All of them.
Yeah, the doctor gives you drugs, then do the drugs.
Yeah, do all every single one your doctor recommends, especially the doctor on the corner of your street.
Yes.
Yes.
No. What?
Yeah. Wait. Hold on,
guys. I gotta go burn my DARE shirts real quick. I'll be right back.
Yikes. Dade. Excuse me.
Dade.
No. I guess real talk. Don't abuse drugs. But this week we're talking about episode 20 of Tokyo 2019-2020, The Third Flower. We get introduced to a wonderful wrestling lady in this episode, and there's a lot of fun to be discussed with this episode. But before we dive in, I'd just like to remind you all that we are running a contest where you could win a pair of AirPod Pros or an Amazon gift card of equal value. Both play music. It's pretty good. All you have to do is leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts, and then just message us via Discord, Twitter, any of our social medias, what your Apple Podcast username is, just so we can confirm that you did it, and you will be in the running for the contest to win an Apple AirPod Pro. Just one pro.
Just singular.
One. You don't get the case, you don't get the left one, you just get the right one. That's all you need.
Well, there will be three winners here. We give one person the left, another person the right, the other person the case, and then you three have to meet up and then tweet at us.
Yeah. This is all part of our elaborate ARG, you see.
Yeah.
To bring Terrace House fans closer together from around the world.
Yeah. We're just trying to really foist a scavenger hunt off on you guys. That's kind of the whole point here.
But
guys,
really, you're going to win the whole thing. Let's just stop fucking with them.
To finish off our conspiracy theory talk from last week's episode, what if we sell both AirPods singularly for winners of the contest? Both of those people find each other. They create a podcast, a Terrace House podcast. Big becomes an bigger than our podcast. Yeah.
Son of Tadaima.
Yeah. Son of Tadaima.
Tadaima.
Let's hear our show.
Where they react to our show.
And they don't watch Terrace House. They just kind of like piece together what happened on Terrace House by listening to our show.
I kind of want that
secondhand
now.
Secondhand Terrace House. Yeah. I love it.
Tadaima 2, a Tadaima, a Terrace House podcast companion.
Podcast.
A podcast companion.
A podcast.
Yeah, that.
A podcast companion cast.
It's an after show. You know, you have to really be into it to listen.
Listen, man, everyone's got to find their niche. You know, the niches get riches.
There it is.
Whoa.
But yeah, all you have to do is just leave us a review. Just like, what's the name here we've got? We've got Sun Apple, who left us a review early this February, which is pretty awesome. Very quick one. The best coverage. As far as I'm concerned, this is the only and the official Terrace House podcast. Keep up the great work, guys. Looking forward to next Tuesday.
Thank you.
Yeah, again, just you know, patting ourselves on the back. We haven't missed a single week since we started.
Hey, yo.
I'm here with the flu, damn it.
Yeah.
Sponsors Netflix. Netflix, yeah, sponsor us, please.
Jack is dying for us, for you, for the listeners.
For your sins.
So yikes. Yeah, if you're thinking about it, if you're thinking you'd love an Apple AirPod Pro, just leave us a review now. Don't wait on it. Don't sleep on it. Go with
that
it.
One.
I keep
pro.
Saying just one. I just keep saying one AirPod
a Pro. No.
It's AirPod Pros. AirPods Pro.
Good lord.
Either
it's
way,
a set.
It's a set of AirPods.
Hold on, guys. I got to put in my PS4 Pros.
There you go. But let's dive into this episode, shall we? We open up with the panel where I think we've kind of been having this sentiment a bit on our Discord recently, but the panelists also say that generally the first six members were a little bit kind of passive, little not great chemistry going on. Now that we have a little bit of that retrospect, kind of agree. You know?
Yeah,
I'm kind of with this take, honestly. They kind of said what we were all thinking, but haven't really put it into words yet. But I think they were just kind of ahead of me. I think would have came to this conclusion eventually, but just kind of hearing it out loud, I'm like, yeah. Kenny wasn't really great. The girls struggled to find chemistry. Kaori ends up leaving in this episode and just kind of like with a whimper, just nothing.
Yeah, I wanted so much more. I like what I got out of Kaori, but I wanted more. As far as like her thing with Shohei, or like I wanted to know maybe more about this thing with her manager slash ex. Like there was stuff there, but I don't think she was the kind of person that was willing to share that with an international audience on Netflix.
Yeah.
So we were throwing out our conspiracy theories last week, and we were asking for others to throw out theirs. And there was one listener that had said, "Hey, conspiracy theory, maybe Kaori left because her and Shohei were having back channel communications and she wanted to go hang out with him." And maybe that's why she left so soon. So who knows? But that's the kind of thing about Terrace House, is that it's in Japan, which is its greatest asset and could also be its greatest liability when it comes to romance, because Japan is a culture right now where romance happens in secret, in the shadows, you know, but we want it to come out into the forefront. We want to participate and be involved in it.
Drag it out into the light.
Yeah, where a lot of participants on the show would rather not have it that way. Obviously, Kenny and Risako, and now potentially Shohei, Kaori. I don't know. That, by the way, that's just a conspiracy theory. We don't have any evidence that happened, but it is something to keep in mind, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the Shohei and Kaori thing are just, it's just a simple reminder that this is a show about real people, and we just can't expect them to have full-blown written character arcs like it's some sort of episodic TV show on Netflix or something.
Yeah. And then Yama had the conspiracy theory that we should not continue the conspiracy theories into this episode, but just this so is many. His, not mine, that Kaori was here in Terrace House only to show off her art and then maybe get some contracts and then go boo-doo-doop.
Get that bump and I'm out.
Terrace House bump.
Deuces. I mean, can't deny, right? Like that's something that I think a lot of people who enter Terrace House are looking for, is to promote their art, their music, their acting, their etc. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people are playing 3D chess, man. We're over here playing 2D chess with romance. Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if they don't intend it, like I'm gonna get so famous, my art's gonna get such a boost off of Terrace House. It's gonna happen regardless.
Oh yeah.
Because of the platform.
Yeah. I mean, I'd actually be very curious. How many people, like, this is something we couldn't test, but how many people would read Mingo if Pepe had not gone on Terrace House?
For sure.
Versus kind of people who have, just because, oh, hey, it's that dude from Terrace House.
For sure. I mean, it's impossible, like we said a couple weeks back, it's impossible to be less famous than you were, you know, pre-Terrace House. You know, it's just inevitably going to happen. And, like, I'm so thirsty for just some kind of real close connections. Like, they don't necessarily need to be romantic. I mean, that's fine, I'll take that too, but I would totally settle for something like along a Taka Shohei OND bro ship, you know, happening. Just some strong like feelings here. I mean, we're getting Haruka crying her eyes out when Kaori's leaving now, but Kaori's just like, ah, bye, little short pat on the back.
Yeah,
like, bye, I'm never gonna contact you again. Okay, bye.
Yeah. It's just, I just want to see those strong connections happen, and so, you know, I guess I was sorely lacking in that for
probably. Starving. Yes. Something. We need food. Yeah. Some sustenance.
We need friendship food. So when we dive into this episode, we've got the first floor with Ruka and Pepe, and Ruka very sheepishly asks Pepe, "Hey, do you want to try my pasta?" To which Pepe says, "I'm not hungry," but Ruka's like, "Please. Please, Pepe, just one bite."
Subtle. Pepe, pasta. Pepe.
Pasta, please. Pepe, pasta.
This is a Kaori's goodbye meal, right?
Unfortunately, yes. Where Ruka throws in some fried tofu into some boiling water. Yeah. And then some prepackaged sauce onto the pasta.
Yes.
Gotta love it. It's handcrafted with love.
And then Kaori, please remember this dish forever.
I'm sure she will.
I gotta watch how much I laugh because I'm gonna seriously start hacking in this microphone.
Oh no.
But
okay guys, it was serious. Yeah, it was podcast funny. No more jokes.
No
more funny.
Go ahead.
I do love how even after they're sitting at the table with the food served, Pepe still doesn't have a plate, and Ruka again is just like, just one bite, please. Just
please.
He shoves the bowl at Pepe, you know, like, can you please have a bite? It's like he's so craving that Italian approval.
I need your approval. Yeah. Which is a bold move. I mean, he's Italian. He's kind of the resident expert of pasta. Like, even if he wasn't just like, oh, the Italian guy, he makes a lot of pasta for the house.
Yes. Well,
was this he also does. The week where Yama brought up that he noticed that the rest of the house kind of all stopped making fun of Ruka all at the same time because they were afraid of, or because they were getting backlash for it? You gotta wonder too. Yeah. You like, okay, so that kind of, to me, all right, I hate bringing up all these conspiracy theories, but that makes me wonder, when Pepe came in, Pepe was especially Hansan levels of niceness to Ruka. Everything Ruka tried to, about his stupid drawings, about his stories, about all that, he was like just finding the silverest lining on that cloud, you know? And it's like, you wonder if like maybe he received feedback like, hey, don't tear into this guy so much or the internet will have your ass. So he might have been like really walking on eggshells there. So who knows?
So you're thinking the Ruka Defense Force is coming in very strong.
It would seem. I mean, if they made the whole house stop making fun of him all at the same time, you know, it's like, whoa, Ruka Defense Force, watch out.
Yeah. And we're seeing kind of the seams on the show. They're showing a little bit because, I mean, when Kenny was in the house, he was reading stuff online about him, and it very much seemed like they were forming a lot of his actions in the house. Mm-hmm. So we know from previous experience that that's a factor. So very easily could be Ruka Defense Force at play here.
Mm-hmm. For sure. We cut to the next morning, I assume. It's 7 a.m. on the first floor, and it's Cowdy atoning for her sins. She is washing the dishes, cleaning the sink. It's, you know, it's making up for the last episode, maybe, you know?
It showed me now that Cowdy was really sick of how dirty the house is. It's not her style, because she even made that joke walking out the door, basically like, don't forget to take out the trash, you motherfuckers. Because I've been doing it this whole time. And it's like, yikes. Like, it was definitely a pain point for her. And I can understand the want to get out of a house like that too. If you're the only clean person out of, you know, four or five other people, it's just like, ooh, it's not gonna be fun. Yeah.
I mean, things were starting to turn around with Ryo kind of beating people into shape a little, you know, but too little too late, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, she cleans up the sink. Oh, go ahead, Daily.
No, just that too little too late feels like the whole like kind of Cowrie sentiment in like this last episode. Like the hug and the hugs. I was very surprised that Ruka got a hug. And that he didn't do his little child thing where he like tucks his head into her chest.
Yeah. They weren't close at all. You know, if you remember, like, he wanted to take her out somewhere, and then she shut him down. You know, she was like, actually, I need to feel like I know you better before we go out another date. And then just nothing ever happened ever again.
Bye.
Yeah.
5 months kind of just came and went.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like we're struggling to find something to say right now because it's just like,
I mean,
bye, Cowdy.
I kind of like last week, I kind of had my goodbye with her, you know, just because when she announced it was happening. So now it's like, okay, we're going to go through it. Don't need to dwell on it too much. You know, let's look forward to the future, I guess. But Cowdy had an interesting run. And, you know, when we say interesting, I kind of mean like bland.
bland run.
That's what that translates into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There wasn't too many big highlights. She had a couple of art shows. And I mean, she had the thing where with her crisis about her talent with her art and going to art school. But other than that, like, we didn't even see any of that really resolved. So
I think her career is about to take off, though. I think the Terrace House bump is serving her well. So I'm happy for her in that regard, I guess.
Absolutely. Sure.
Thank you, Cowrie.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of this beginning, like first 10 minutes kind of feels like a formality. You know, like we know she's leaving. It's just a matter of like, let's go through the motions. She hugs the two people that were still in the house when she joined. And then she leaves a note on the blackboard. Hey, Ryo, Emika, welcome home. I'm heading out. See you later. Bye. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's the last we see of Cowdy for this episode and perhaps for the rest of the season. Who's to say, right? Mm-hmm. And then, much like a spring breeze bringing in the beautiful blooms of spring,
yes.
We go to Kenshicho, Tokyo.
Flower, winds, and
winds.
Spring.
You know, I tried, you know, I think Hana doesn't that mean flower, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She spells it, it's just the kanji for flower.
Oh, it beautiful. Is flower. Ah, mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Yeah. And we go to Kenshicho, and it's a wrestling ring. The squared circle.
Dude.
It's happening. We have a wrestler on the show now.
She's Can I Irish translate real quick?
Yeah.
Wrestler. Wrestler.
A wrestler.
He's saying wrestler, but he's wrestler. Robert, so he has to say it that way.
It's a Listen, wrestler.
All,
yeah.
all I know is we got some guttural, blood-curdling screams.
Yes. And oh, that was when I was like, oh, what? Like, I was all wide. I just like, come here. You know, like body slamming people, and they were selling it too.
Mm. No, it was actually kind of cool, you know, like seeing her cool. Irish whip people around and all that. Yeah. And then after the dust settles, she's kind of chilling in the ring with two friends, and you get the classic, "Hey guys, guess what? I'm going to Tara's house.
Mud's day.
Yeah, isn't that the show where you date people? Yeah,
you're supposed to fall in love with people you live with. Yeah, and it's like." It didn't used to be that kind of show, but that's kind of where we are at now, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think longtime fans of Terrace House would disagree with that sentiment, but that's kind of what it's about.
Mm. It makes me wonder if that's like the narrative the producers are trying to push now. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, it's that show where you fall in love in the house.
I mean, hey, ships sell views, man. People like ships.
And I mean, she at least gives off this vibe that she's definitely looking for love. You know, that's her whole shtick here.
For sure. Yeah.
We go back to the house, the first floor in the evening, and it's Ruka and Emmy just kind of chilling on the couch, and Emmy's a little bummed about Cowdy, but then, bing bong, we get the doorbell, and Pepe immediately is like, what? Oh, is that Cowdy coming back?
Why does he always do this?
Oh,
he has
my God.
A problem letting go. He's like, oh, Shohei's back. Oh, Cowdy's back. Like, no, never.
Yeah. Rip that wound back open.
Yeah.
I mean, with Pepe, you know, he's a jokester, right? Because earlier in the episode when he was with Ruka, you know, he was joking about like, oh, did anyone else leave the house while I was gone? Like, he has abandonment issues now.
And the answer was yes.
Ruka had to be like, well.
Yeah.
I hope so. One time somebody just like leaves the house and then they come back like an hour later. He's like, bean pong. Oh, new member. He's like, hey, guys, I'm back. I forgot my phone charger.
I forgot my keys.
Yeah, Pepe. Poor Pepe, man. He's got like PTSD from bodies dropping left and right, you know, in the last few days.
True, man.
But then we have Hana Kimura enter the house with her very vibrant, bright pink braids.
Yo.
It's a look.
Yo.
I like it.
Yeah. She says it's synthetic hair. It's like extensions, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But she's half Indonesian, half Japanese, 21. No. And she says at this point very coyly, I'm turning 22 this year. By this year, she means fucking girl. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yo.
Girl.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Guys, just knee-jerk reactions from her entrance. Give them to me daily.
I love her. I love her. I love that she's definitely going. I feel like her straightforwardness is going to rival the likes of Haruka. And I think that's what we need in the house right now. I think in the same way that we needed Pepe's burst of pep, we're going to get a beautiful, flowery breath of fresh air with Hana. I'm excited to see where it's going because she is. Definitely in it for love, as we'll see. Like, I like that she's starting those conversations.
Mm.
Absolutely. I think she brings her gankiness is a shot in the arm to the house. It's what we need.
Gankiness. I think
we need it. We're going more towards high energy moving stuff along here. It's just we need that. We've had a pretty damn slow part one and most of part two so far in Tokyo. And we need something to stir the pot. We need not necessarily a UE, but we need something like that, something to get the house moving.
Robert, what do you think?
I have a little bit of Irish whiplash because she's so bright and like peppy, right? I guess I feel that, and we get a little bit of that in this episode, but I feel that she thinks she's made for Ryo. But in her heart, it's actually for Pepe because they're both on this equal wavelength of just generally straightforward and bright, you know?
Yeah.
That's the vibe I get.
I love this kickstart to the house. I think this is exactly what we needed. I think she couldn't be more different than Kaori, and for better or for worse. It's going to be very interesting. She's already starting to sun Ruka. We'll get into that in just a minute. But but it's just like, man, I don't know. We've never had a wrestler, as far as I know, in Terrace House. And that's an interesting profession. She is emotionally, though, you know, relationship-wise, she is kind of immature. She has had one boyfriend before, but she comes from an environment where it's all women, just like girls. And she doesn't have, like she said, a lot of opportunity to meet guys. And so when she just sees guys and girls talking and interacting, she automatically thinks they like each other. Yes. Might not necessarily be the case. I can understand from her point of view why she might think that. But, you know, she's there to fall hard, too, in love. And I can see it maybe going to some interesting places. Some drama might be seeding in here, into the house.
Yeah. She's basically from that other Netflix show, Glow. You know, Glorious Ladies of Wrestling. That's basically her life. So,
she's a superhero, and the way she looks. I mean, she's cool. I'm just excited to see what happens. What I'm saying, though, is I can see her inexperience and her enthusiasm for love leading to potential drama, you know, with the other people, like dating, with the paths crossing, triangles forming, things like that.
Right. Well, I just want to jump in real quick and also say that I do know for a fact in Boys and Girls Next Door, there was a wrestler there as well.
Oh, good.
In Terrace House history, I believe Hana is the second wrestler.
Okay. Good to know.
Is she the first female, or was that also a female wrestler?
I think also female, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe we'll get a visit.
Ooh,
maybe
a grudge match, Terrace House grudge match. I don't know.
Maybe they'll have a match. That would be incredible.
That'd be cool.
What? Man. In the house, in the playroom.
Yes.
In the playroom. Yeah. Oh man, I'm excited. I was so upset on her behalf, though, when she said that the reason why that last boyfriend didn't work out is because he was like. Wrestling. No, we can't date if you're doing wrestling. It's like, boy, must crazy. Be so insecure. I'd love to have a girlfriend that could just like pick me up and throw me down.
I mean, that's the thing. She dodged a bullet with that, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, be with someone that enables you, you know, and inspires you, not tries to tamp down your dreams like that. That was terrible. So I'm glad that they're not together now.
Yeah. I'm glad that she threw him off the top of a Hell in a Cell and let him travel 16 feet down into the announcer table. And just,
you know, wrestling, man. I didn't realize this.
My dad was into WWE, so I know a bit. I'm much like Pepe. WWE was popular where he grew up as well. So he knows a bit about it.
See, me, anything past like Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, Papa Shango, that kind of era there. Anything past that, I'm not too sharp on.
You didn't watch during the Attitude Era? Like, everyone did.
Who was big there? Is that The Rock?
Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock?
I mean, I knew of them. Obviously, they're such huge characters, but it's not like I watched it every week.
Batista.
Or like that. Yeah, I know, like, the sayings and stuff, you know.
So, are you familiar with that iconic Undertaker v. Mankind match in a Heck in a Sec? Hell in a Cell?
No.
Heck in a Sec?
Heck in a Sec.
Thanks for censoring yourself on our very, very child-friendly podcast. Yes.
Yep.
No, I don't know. I know the Undertaker was undefeated in something for a long time until like
WrestleMania
a few years ago. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know the wrestling that well. All right. So,
well, now this is a wrestling podcast for the rest of the show, by the way. No. But with Hana, just a bit more about her. Her mom was also a pro wrestler. So it was kind of, you know, following in her mom's footsteps in a way,
blood.
Even though she didn't actually make that decision to be a wrestler till like later in high school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think this will be an interesting dynamic to have in the house. I think Pepe, you know, he doesn't have a crush on her, I think, but you get little hints of like he's definitely interested by her, you know, because there's that scene where he's like, oh, are there pictures of you like, you know, gory and bloodied up, which is like a weird question to ask someone you just met, right? Or like in this scene, after Hana goes upstairs to put away her stuff, he's talking with Ruka and is like, oh, she's very unique, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we will bring it up and talk about it more, but like he reveals his crush, you know, and it's to Emika, who is a lot different than Hana. So we'll see what happens. I think it's gonna be interesting. My favorite part here, again, yeah, referenced it shortly before, but was when Ruka's like, first of all, he walks on top of the couch again. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, to help. Yeah, stop doing that, man. To help her with her luggage. And she goes, no, it's okay. I'm going to try not to laugh here.
No, I'm pretty okay. sure I'm stronger
I
than you.
I got it. I'm stronger than you.
I'm stronger than you. Oh,
it's
my
like,
God.
Damn, dude. Like, she just walked in to the house and she's already like ripping. I thought it was hilarious.
Guys, I just realized this is how Ruka can follow in the footsteps of the Sam Raimi Peter Parker.
She's Bonesaw.
Spider-Man.
Holy shit. Hey, kid, what's your name? Spider-Man. Oh, that sucks.
No.
Or no, what's he say? The human spider.
Spider-Man.
It's like, that's not my name.
This is how it begins. He's going to become Spider-Man by getting into professional wrestling.
The origin story.
All dude, I know is, y'all, I is I do want to see more Pepe and Hana time together. I want to see them spend a little bit more time together.
I'm kind of rooting for her and Rio so far in this early day. But we'll see. Because Pepe's already got his... He's trying to shoot a shot with Emika, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh. Is that... That's not what I understood. That's not the subtext that I read out of this episode.
No.
What was the subtext you read?
I was thinking that Pepe was instantly struck by her, and that's why he... Yeah, and that's why he refused to reveal his crush.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Interesting.
I don't know.
He didn't want to give up the ghost so quick.
Yeah, I don't know. After this episode, I came away with, like, this could go a lot of different directions.
Definitely.
There's definitely a lot of different energies swirling around here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good for the show.
Yeah. I think this is fun because right now we're in this place where six people have entered the ring and we don't really know what's going to happen here. We don't know what tag teams are going to be made on the fly or is there going to be any interferences from outside the house. That's about the peak of my wrestling
goal
pun right there. Yeah.
Battle Royale.
Yep. This is a battle royale. 30 people enter. One leaves alive.
Battle Royale.
Yes.
Death match.
Also, just a fun fact, Emmy and Hana, they talk about their birthdays, right? In this episode. Emmy's birthday was like last week in February, February 1st. So like happy belated birthday to that, right? But Hana's birthday is like, she says in 2 hours. Which is like, that's a bomb.
She's just like, in like 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours.
Yeah, but wasn't it like 8 or 9 o'clock when she said that?
Yeah.
It seemed like it was late at night, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I mean, 2 hours is like, that wasn't midnight. So I'm assuming that's like her exact hour of birth is my assumption.
Look, she's a wrestler, not a math magician.
I think it's nice though that they at least made the effort to scramble and put something together for her. You know,
Ruka's like, oh God, we need a cake ASAP. Oh yeah. God, go
do this.
Autobots, roll out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice that they do something for her. And we actually get to see it in this episode too, but we'll get to that in a bit here. We cut to the next scene where we're in the girls' room, and this is where Haruka and Hana first meet each other. And Hana's immediately like, wow, you're so beautiful. You know? And Haruka is like, stop.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Yeah. Did anyone else get like kind of like a cold shouldery vibe from Haruka here?
Kind of.
Did anyone else, or is it just me? I hope I'm not projecting on her, but just seemed like she was kind of intimidated by her looks.
I felt it kind of as a result of how much Hana was pressing for details about Ryo. Like her being like, oh, is like he's like you said, like, oh, he's like a considerate person. Like he's really, like he's really like the whole industrious, like
Haruka,
like she couldn't find another word. She was like, you know, industrious. But Hana was like, all right, I like industrious. Hey, cool. Hey. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it. Industrious. All right.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. So question to the table.
Oh,
do you think Haruka, I mean, she might already, honestly, but do you think Haruka is going to feel threatened by Hana's presence from a relationship standpoint?
Haruka always, to me, seems to feel like she needs to be herself, like the alpha girl or whatever the term is. I don't even know. But like she needs to be desired. She needs to be chased. She needs to feel like she can date somebody if she wanted to. I guess, you know. And so that's part of her, that all rolls into her bad habit of being more interested in someone only if another girl is already interested in them.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
So if we see Hana go after Ryo, so Haruka's going to follow and go after Ryo hard, even harder. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, back in the Risako era, I think the reason that they clashed so much is because they were both really outspoken. And I think Haruka is more used to being like the most outspoken person in the room. So not to be outdone, that's why that never really worked out. So if Hana's also pretty outspoken,
probably arguably the most outspoken.
Yeah. Actually, it's an interesting parallel that you draw there, Daily, because when you look at it, Hana is, I mean, I don't want to boil her down too much, but she's kind of like Risako too here. Same level of positive vibes, Genki energy.
Yeah.
Always excited to do stuff, right?
They're similar types for sure, I think.
Yeah. Very athletic too. So maybe Haruka is just generally intimidated by girls that are shorter than her, happier than her, more vibrant, more athletic, etc.
Maybe it's
just, that's just a type she just doesn't jive with, you know?
Mm.
I think that the difference, though, in this situation is that Haruka no longer has Kaori to confide in. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like, so she doesn't have her to go to and talk to behind Risako's back in this situation, or Hana's back.
The more you guys are pointing out all these things with how Haruka's situation is changing, it's making me think she might be the next to go. Because if she doesn't have someone to turn to vent to, you know, and if she just isn't liking the vibe of the new people coming in, and if you know, if this thing with Pepe kind of falls flat, she could be the next to go.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. If she doesn't get the romance, she's, what's the point?
She's gonna hop in her Corvette, drive away into the sunset.
Thank you. I love that. When we're all on the same wavelength.
I just don't see Haruka building any like much chemistry with Emika and Hana. I don't know. I can't picture it right now. Maybe it happens, but in my head, it's just, I don't know if I can paint that picture right now.
Yeah, it's too early to tell, but I can see where this might be going if Haruka just remains the same kind of person, you know, as we've known her to be the whole time. She's going to have to make strides, I think, out of her comfort zone to build bonds with these girls, it seems. Mm.
Yeah, and Haruka has always just come off as the kind of person who, she's not necessarily the greatest, and this is going to sound a little mean, but she's not necessarily the greatest friend. You know, like with Kaori, she talked at Kaori, not with Kaori. With Risako, she just didn't. That's just not, that's not a thing, you know? And with Emika, there's very little to be seen or had there from what we're seeing.
I feel like a lot of it is because they have not really been in the house very much yet at the same time, too.
Yeah. But didn't she have that line way back when where she was just like, I'm just not interested in other people?
Yes, that's
true. I almost forgot about that. Yeah, that was kind of eye-opening in terms of...
I think it was Shohei, like, that's a bad take, girl.
Yeah, just very, very self-centered. But it's like she's openly admitting she's self-centered.
I mean, like, maybe it's that. Maybe it's just she just hasn't met someone that interests her, too. You know, because she has very different interests than a lot of people in her age range. You know, she's an old soul, you know.
I mean, she's very interested in Pepe. I get it. You know, he's hot, right?
It's almost like, though, she has trouble empathizing, you know, like
you brought it up. You and Tori-chan brought it up that, you know, she's very immature, like she's underdeveloped, I guess, emotionally. To people, you know, the way she treats people, the way she invited Pepe out, then uninvited him. There's a lot of evidence to show that Haruka is just not as mature as you would hope.
Mm. Yeah, it's really strange. I don't know, man. She's quite the onion to unravel, like many layers.
Yeah, I guess going back to where we were at in the house when they're meeting up these three girls for the first time in the girls' room, it just seems not the most friendly of introductions. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they all become best friends.
We cut to the panel here where Yama, again, with his hot takes, he just wants the athletes to clean the house up and they want them to like tag team and destroy Haruka, I think is like the vibe he wants.
Body slammer into the pool. Yeah, body slammer into the pool.
which might kill her. That's like a 14-foot drop.
It's pretty deep. Yeah.
That's manslaughter, I think, or something.
If you do it, that's murder, not manslaughter.
What I would like is can I get some cannonballs in that pool? It's so deep. It's like designed to cannonball.
Yeah.
Mm. Can we do please? Let's do it.
Conscientious about being quiet, though, it seems like.
Yeah.
Because they're right up against another house. Mm. So it's like,
oh, are they?
Neighbors. Like, you can see it kind of through the glass of the, like, the pool room. Like, it's right there. And I'm sure that the neighbors could hear them doing cannonballs if they so chose to do so.
It's Tokyo. It's like, it's impossible not to have direct neighbors in Tokyo, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I wonder what it's like being the neighbor to the terrace house. House of Terrace House.
I don't know.
It's got to be an interesting experience.
What if they made cameos like way in the back? Like if you freeze frame it and you like enhance, you can like see into their lives.
Okay. Yeah. This is dark.
Oh man. Meta this show.
Is, this is reminding me now of very dark, real shit going on, guys. Okay. Small tangent. So K-pop stars are taking selfies on their brand new 2020, 2019 phones. With like 48,000 megapixel, whatever the fuck, you get the point. Mm. They're taking selfies. Mm. Motherfuckers are zooming in on their pupils to get reflections of where their location is, and they're tracking them down.
What the fuck?
Isn't that fucking terrifying?
That's a little scary.
That's
y'all.
Freaky,
not
dude.
Gonna lie.
That's
very scary, but also after what happened with like 4chan and the Shia LaBeouf thing, I'm not surprised.
I mean, dude, just be careful what you put out there. And K-pop people, man, be safe. Be good. I wish you well.
If you do this, stop it.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Get some help. Bad.
That's creepy,
get
dude.
Stop it. Get some help.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, K-pop, I love K-pop. Obviously, we have the K-pop dance parties in the Discord. Shout out. What up? But it's just like, you know, K-pop stars have had a rough last 12 months or so. You know, it's been going bad. So just like, man. All love, mental health, you know. I wish you guys well. It's been a struggle.
Hell yeah.
Man, that's my tangent.
Next scene here. We go to the first floor where Pepe is again doing manga. You know, he left a note on the blackboard that he's out again. Another day. Dot, dot, dot. You know, it's very... He's definitely a little stressed. But that's the vibe I get, right?
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
But down here, it's Haruka and Ruka, and they're kind of planning Hana's birthday party, like kind of, you know, shooting like, hey, what should we do here? And then Emika enters, and then Hana enters, and they're all just chilling at the table where they all kind of make these plans like, hey, let's, like, Hana has a match this Sunday, let's all go watch it.
Yes.
And I have a feeling this is going to be a key event that happens across the next episode or two.
Group outing. I love group outings.
Yeah, everyone in the house eventually gets involved in this. Like, everyone's going to this.
Could be awesome.
Yeah, and I hope it turns into one of those things where, like, either Rio or Pepe or whoever is just like, wow, she's so cool. You know what I'm saying? That sort of thing.
Well, I mean, they're going to hear her guttural screams. It's so intimidating, man. She is a freaking lioness. She is fierce in that ring. I can't wait to watch.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And Pepe's going to want blood. Yeah, the first thing he wants is like, show me a bloody picture of you.
In the picture, she was like half unconscious. She was like, I was barely conscious when this was taken. And they're like, oh, cool. And it's like, I don't know if is that an appropriate reaction? I don't know.
I mean, if I was like an 11-year-old boy or something like that, then I'd be into like the barbed wire and the brass knuckles and the fluorescent bulbs and the thumbtacks and all that. But like, now I'm just like, I don't want to see that. Just have a regular wrestling match. I don't need the fluorescent bulbs being broken over people's skulls, you know, like, yeesh.
Yeah. God,
dude, the word was tortured.
Yeah.
Dude, her body's going to be such a mess by the time she's 30. I mean, I just wrestlers and talking interviews and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, it's. Not a day goes by that you're not in pain.
People say it's fake. I mean, you get slammed on there and say it's fake.
Still get hurt.
Yeah, you do a work on your body. You know?
It's not fake. It's scripted. That doesn't mean you aren't getting hit.
It's entertainment mainly, you know. So it's like real. It's the closest thing you can get to real life superheroes. You know, I understand the appeal, and they have good storylines usually.
And outfits.
I've always believed.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's it.
I've always believed that wrestling is soap opera for the manly men.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because there's so many melodrama like events going on, you know, like they pull in shit like, hey, were you sleeping with my girlfriend who's also my manager? It's like, I don't know, but maybe.
It's like real life Dragon Ball, isn't it? It's like real life anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, turns out my girlfriend was sleeping with him and Vince McMahon, the CEO of the WWE.
I mean, dude, people get married in WWE. Like, on the ring, people get married there. And it's like, what the fuck is this?
God bless the ring. Your guys.
God.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to learning more about Japanese wrestling culture. Like, is it, are we going to have, like, the same kind of, like, you, I'm calling you out for this, and then they fight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. I've heard in some ways it can be even more intense than what we get over here.
Oh, well, man.
For yeah. sure.
I can't wait. I can't wait to watch her match. I'm really excited about it. Really excited.
Same. But, you know, Hana's been stealing the show with the athleticism here, but the show then reminds us, hey, remember Ryo? Remember, he's the other athlete in the house. So here's the scene of him doing basketball. Don't forget, he's also athletic.
Yeah, he's off training somewhere far away.
Yeah, and he's playing a little match. We get to watch him like do the basketball stuffs with Butt Rock again accompanying it, which is fantastic.
All the butt.
Yep.
The thing that freaked me out here, sorry, is that when him and his boys were eating food in the locker room, it's just something that's like,
thank you.
They all got chopsticks out. They're just like having a meal. I'm like,
That
go
bothered,
ahead, Bailey.
Like, ew. Yeah. Gross. Ew, it's sweaty. It's like everyone's been naked in there already.
Yeah.
Like,
seems very unsanitary.
There's got to be the slight, faint waft of ball sweat just permeating throughout the locker.
That's appetizing. God. Yeah, let's just, like, sit down and eat our dinners here.
It smells like deodorant and ball sweat in here.
Like, I can't think of a worse place
bento.
To eat food.
Stop.
Well, here's the other thing, too, actually. Here's a question. Where did they get the food? Because what if it's just been sitting in the locker room?
Oh, I can't.
Waiting?
I can't.
Like, after their practice.
Like, listen, it was a giant gym. There's got to be somewhere to sit
just
for a proper
just go
meal.
Sit on the bleachers. Just go.
Yeah.
Get out of the locker
room.
Just
the floor
even.
Of the court.
Like,
yeah.
Just not the locker room where
bad.
I always associate locker rooms with, like, it's humid in there, and part of that humidity is just sweat, just pure
bodies,
people dank. Juice
it's
in the
dank.
Air.
People juice in the air.
It's dank,
get
right?
Me your bento.
This eel's saltier than I remember.
This eel has O to people juice in it.
I'm grossed out.
All right, moving on. While we're in the locker room, though, there is a little bit of boys talk here that I didn't want to point out. One of the guys asks Ryo, hey, when was the last time you slept alone in a hotel room? And Ryo responds, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
I don't know if they meant that, like, you know, they all share rooms often, or if he, you know, goes out on the town. Enjoys a little bit of, you know, drinks
like,
and women.
I like for the, I'll give, you know, rare props here. We usually criticize, but rare props for the Terrace House producers here, because three of the last four new additions to the house, the Shin members, are very high on initiative. They're very clearly stating they're there for romance. They want to date as much as possible. Pepe is the only one that was like, hey, I'm here for more so for my career, but he's also there to date too. I think he just didn't expressly state it. But that's what we needed, you know? So I think we've got a good bunch here, it seems like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Ryo in this scene is also like, I want to ask the other two girls out when I get home.
Yeah.
So very clearly he doesn't feel tied down by Emmy in any way, shape, or form, you know?
It's a thing, yeah.
Yeah, definitely not.
We go to the first floor where we have Emmy, Haruka, and Hana. And Emmy is curling Ruka's hair. He has become... The women's plaything. He's become the little brother, the pet of the house.
Okay. We do have to talk about this for a minute, because when I saw that, I was like, okay, Ruka isn't dating any of these girls ever again. Yeah. Because, and the panel really pretty much illustrates it. It's like very much a little brother kind of thing. I mean, it's very, I don't know if I'd go so far as say disrespectful, but I would say they just don't. They're just showing they don't think of him as a man. Is my thought, I guess, against that, like a romantic prospect, you know? So
like they would never do the same thing, be like, oh, Pepe, let's curl your hair.
Or Rio. No. Yeah, exactly. They just would. I just don't see all three of them doing that at the dining room table with them. And so it just, to me, kind of shut the door on any prospects that Ruka may have not even had ever to begin with. But it was a funny scene. And I wasn't entirely, I can't say I was surprised to see that happen, but I guess I was surprised to see it happen so soon to the new girls coming in the house, though. They've already like transitioned him into that role, right? I mean, Hana did it right when before she even saw the girls' room. She's like, no, I'm stronger than you. I got it. It's fine.
Yeah.
We're good.
I got this.
Yeah.
No, I think Ruka is just at this point now where he's become this season's punching bag. He's been it for a while. But the fact that he has so quickly established himself as a punching bag after all these new people moved in, it's like, that's just him now. It's just his role.
Yeah. So yeah, he's not doing anything to help himself, man. He's just not.
So sick in bed all week with the flu, I had some time to think about Terrace House. And I thought about Ruka. And I might actually be turning a corner with Ruka. Like, real talk.
The fever's talking. It's the fever.
It might be the virus talking.
Your brain's
talking.
Fried, bud.
Yeah. I might have one of those fungus in my brain that's changing my thinking, but I'm starting to like him and think of him more favorably now. First of all, like, whatever happened with the job? They never even told us yet if he got that job at the bar, so no, I'm wondering about didn't. That. Hmm. But the reason why I'm liking him now is, no, I don't think he, I still think all the problems exist that existed before, but the way he's reacting and taking everything in stride and not getting all shitty or bent out of shape or anything, you're just letting everything kind of roll off his back. I kind of admire that in a way, because he's just like, hey, I'm just doing my thing. Like, I'm not, like, he's not getting shitty or indignant with anybody. He's not starting any drama. He's just there trying to improve. And he is improving, I think, when it comes to cooking and stuff like that. You know, so I think he's taking all the bullshit that he's getting pretty much about as healthily as you possibly can. And he's still a likable person. Like, everyone in the house likes him. They might not come to him for advice, but he seems like a pretty likable guy. And so I guess I'm admiring his reaction to the adversity he's facing. And it's making me think of him a little bit better. Like, I want to be a little less mean to him. But at the same time, I'd like for him to go somewhere. And I mean, like, either he needs to like progress faster, or he needs to maybe consider leaving the house in sometime in the future. But I'm starting to just, again, turn the corner.
Hmm. Can I tell you what? I'm kind of in the same boat.
Yeah.
I feel that a little bit. And maybe it's just because I've punched this bag for so long that that's become boring. And all that's left is a sense of, I don't know. I mean, he's better than he was in episode 10. That's maybe the best praise I can give him. And to be fair, he cooked two meals in this episode that people liked.
Yeah. Like, he's I'm not better. Worried anymore about him in the kitchen. I'm just like, okay, he's practicing. He's working on his craft.
Yeah. I'm still worried about his life in general, but for now, I'm like, he's getting better. He doesn't look great with curly hair, but you know what? Lesson learned. I don't know. I think what might happen is, I think he might be leaving soon too. I mean, he's been on the show for 20 episodes now, you know? Mm-hmm. He lasted way longer than Udai, which was, you know, his predecessor in a way.
Yeah, that's true. He's like doubled Udai's time, hasn't he now? Udai left at like 8 or 9, didn't he?
That's something like that. And honestly, I think this is going to sound really stupid, but it's also like the most Ruka way to leave the house. I think it's going to be, guys, I got that gig with the Marvel bar, and because of that, I've been a new chapter in my life. So I have gotten a different part-time job, and I must move out to close this book.
If he does say that to us, or to the show, to the housemates, I think it's the producers feeding him that, like, this is why you're going to say you're leaving. You know,
maybe. So I'm kind of with you guys. Like, it's one of I'm kind of with you guys too. Like, I like, we've seen Ruka say and do so many things to show that, like, oh man, Ruka, you're gonna need some work. But now that we're kind of established and we know what Ruka needs to work on, you can find solace in the fact that he's showing some sort of progress.
Of effort. At least he took that one English class that one time and got weekend and wrong.
As far as we know, I don't know if he's keeping that up or not. But
it's just everything he does. It's just his life is a comedy, dude. It really is a comedy.
Or
and,
is it a tragedy?
Yeah.
It's both.
But
yeah, I don't.
I guess I just like the effort, and I like the way he's not getting shitty with everyone for coming down on him.
I wonder what his family thinks of his progress in the show so far. He hasn't said anything. You know he's watching, or at least somebody from his family's watching.
Yeah, I wonder if someone told him that the UK is not very close to the US.
No, I want him to keep believing that. I want him to believe in magic, you know?
Oh, man. So, yeah. All right, that was my thought on Ruka. I don't know. After, again, a week in a fever dream state.
Daily, I'm curious. Are you still not as into him?
He has more to prove to me, especially like the Spider-Man thing. It's just too much.
Well, yeah.
It's I need to see him be like, you know what? Maybe this is what I want to do instead. I need some kind of concrete goal to see him work toward, because otherwise he's just like, maybe I'll be Spider-Man. And like I said, like with the wrestling thing, maybe he's going to be like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is how I become Spider-Man. I would actually like it if he got into wrestling, because then he's doing something.
That's true.
Because I thought that he was going to get into parkour, because it's like parkour, Spider-Man, that goes hand in hand, right?
Yeah,
nope, that never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want to see him do something.
Just to be clear here, too, like, I'm not giving him a free pass. Like, I could very easily hear him say or see him doing or saying something very stupid next week. that tops everything else. I'm like, fucking Ruka. But it's just like, you know, I'm glad to see, again, the effort.
I think it's just that it's not that I like him more. I just dislike him less.
Less. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. That's
where I'm at. Yeah. And honestly, it's funny because I think there are quite a few people in the YouTube comments and in Discord who think we're being a little too hard on Ruka. And I'm wondering if that may be because pretty much everyone on Earth except us four has gotten to the end of part two or even further. Right. And maybe it's just the Ruka effect, like the longer you're exposed to him, the less you dislike him and the more you're just like, yeah, you know. I was a little hard on him. It's fine.
Maybe we're turning into the RCS guys, the Ruka Concern Squad.
Nope.
There we go.
We'll see.
Nope.
Yeah.
I mean, concerned.
He's verged dangerously close to Lost Cause territory. He hasn't quite hit Yudai Lost Cause because Yudai was just fucking stubborn.
And that's the thing, too.
Belief.
I think it's another reason why I'm favorably thinking of Ruka here, because you contrast him and compare him to Yudai. It's like night and day to me.
Mm.
You know?
As long as Ruka puts on his own socks, he's better than Yudai, you know?
Right. Because, I mean, at least Ruka is convicted to set out and do something. Like, he's trying to do something.
Well,
and he wants to improve.
Yeah, I don't know. Be Spider-Man is the right something to do.
It's not
the right something,
but it's something.
Yeah.
It's better than wanting to have a mother dog and have them do everything for you so you could do nothing. Because Yudai's goal was to do fucking nothing.
That's true. Man.
And cuddle with his two pandas.
Okay, okay.
Let's get back into the show, though. So we're in the first floor, right? The girls are curling Ruka's hair, but then Pepe comes in, loud Italian energy going on. You know, tanti auguri a te. Uh-huh. Happy birthday, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing in the champagne or the sparkling,
it's so universal.
You know. Yeah, it's so good. And then Ruka comes in with a cake. And also Ruka says, welcome to Terrorist House in English, which, you know, proud of him. He's learning.
Maybe nice. He is keeping up on those classes.
Yeah. Yeah, we get to celebrate Hana's birthday here, which, you know, I think maybe when she was walking into the house, she didn't expect them to do this, right? Which is maybe why she didn't tell everyone, like, hey, my birthday's tomorrow, right? But it's kind of cool seeing everyone come together with this. And they get her to put on her costume and show it off, you know, downstairs. That was pretty great. And they even staged that photo where Pepe's getting elbow dropped.
You know,
he's tapping out. Oh, that's great.
I love how everyone instantly like grabbed their phones and were like, perfect. Yes, yes. It felt like a very like paparazzi moment.
Yeah. I don't know. It was cute. It was very fun. And then this is that scene where Hana asks everyone, hey, who here has a crush? And they all kind of get to this point where they all close their eyes. And if you have a crush, raise your hand.
Oh.
And Hana's the only one looking.
Ooh.
And the only one who raises their hand there at the table is Pepe.
What Pepe. A awesome what? Question. When you have one thing, one command of everyone, you just get down and dirty. Right. Where are Cupid's arrows
seven
pointing?
7 minutes left in her birthday.
Yeah.
And she's like, who has a crush on who? Tell me.
She's
now.
There for love. Hana make is it, there make it. For love ASAP.
Power moves.
I felt bad for Pepe when he was the only one. I was like, really? Yeah. The girls aren't feeling anything anywhere? Like, I was kind of surprised Emika didn't raise her hand at all after that conversation she had with her girlfriends about Pepe's date.
Ruka would, too. Like, Emika. But nothing. Mm-mm. What the heck, guys? Or maybe they were all like, nah, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Not Pepe's gonna the only myself. Truthful one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do love that when everyone opens their eyes, Hana says, there were hands raised, and Haruka has this look of like, who the fuck raised their hand?
You son of a bitch.
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
He was like weirdly angry. Like,
yeah.
She's like,
who? Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Y'all lying sacks of shit.
Yeah. But Hana very forwardly asks Pepe, hey, can we talk real quick? Like, I know you're busy. Can we talk on the roof real quick, right? And they go up to the rooftop. And this is an interesting thing I noticed that Hana did where, you know, it rained recently, so a lot of the benches are still wet. So she says, oh, let's just crowd together on this one chair, right? Which immediately makes things really intimate. Like, that just breaks all physical barriers. They are shoulder to shoulder, hip to hip.
And it was like, you know, they had to do it, quote unquote, because all the other seats were wet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was intimate. And all she did was ask, like, hey, you're the only one who raised your hand. I'm not going to tell anyone, but I'm just curious, who do you have a crush on, right? And Pepe circles around the block of it. He's, you know, like, oh, she's human.
I liked that. That was funny.
She's female. You know, he doesn't distinctly say who exactly it is. And it's funny, right? Because Jack, you thought it was Emika, but Daly, you got the impression that it was Hana.
Yes, I got that impression because he didn't want to say anything about it, because he could have easily just been like, yeah, I've been, you know, Emika and I, we went on a beach date and really felt the chemistry. Like, I didn't see him as having anything to lose by admitting to that. Like, maybe he was like, just didn't want her to know, or didn't feel like they had enough of like a friendship yet to like reveal that kind of thing. But to me, that then translated to, oh, he's been instantly like, she's really cool. She's a wrestler. I like her style. We vibe. I like you. But I'm not going to admit that right away.
Well, she's a human being.
Like, day two.
She's a human being. She's a female.
She is female.
Yeah. It's too early, right?
And yeah. I feel like she's crushing too.
Definitely. And then they awkwardly high five. They're like, high five.
Twice.
Twice.
See, I'm scared. If you guys remember, I've brought this up in episodes previous. Like, I'm scared to high five that early on, because to me, it's a good, snappy, confident high five is so crucial in my ability to bond with somebody. We talk about, like, if I high five somebody and if it's like they give me a wet fish or something like that, they don't know what's going on, I'm just like, my trust level has just sunken to the floor.
I just saw it as like a cute way, like, she wanted to touch him more.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see that too.
I want to touch your hand. Like, I almost saw like a slight grip to that first high five, you know, man. Like, you high five and then you kind of hold it there and slowly.
Yeah.
Like a romantic high five, question mark? Did she turn the thing, right?
Did she turn 22 or 23?
She's 22 now.
22.
So as I wonder how sheltered she's been these years, man. She is just looking for human connection, male connection.
I think that just might be her wrestling training. Like, if you have your hand on another human being in the ring, you better bet your ass you are gripping.
Dude.
I think for her, it's just muscle memory.
Her
like,
grip strength has got to be next level, right? Her forearms have got to be chonky with muscles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She could probably have snapped Pepe's hand in half.
She could beat the shit out of everyone.
Oh my god! I don't know why. I just had like a flashback, like 10 years in the future. They're dating or married now.
Wait. A flashback to the future.
Sorry, I'm fucking sick. Okay, a flash forward to the future. They're married now. Okay, they're getting in a fight, and Pepe's being a jerk, and she just goes and grabs like his pens and just snaps them in half. Fuck you!
Oh no! Like,
oh my god!
Copic markers. Those are livelihood. Expensive. No.
No.
God, that'd be mean. But yeah, I don't know. I could see both arguments. I think it's maybe too early to say. I don't know. Pepe's playing close to the chest. That's the vibe I'm getting here.
I'm gonna go early prediction. I don't know that she is his type yet. I'm not sure of that yet. So I think he's tunnel vision on Emiko right now. Mm. We'll see what happens though. He could be coy. Yeah. Being coy.
Kawhi.
I think wild card. I think it's a wild card house right now. I honestly could go so many different directions right now.
I think the interesting thing is no one's talking about him and Haruka. They still got a thread going too. So
what thread?
Pepe and Haruka.
I know. I'm just saying. Like,
oh yeah. They're gonna go to they're gonna go to the body shop next, right? And he's gonna meet the old guys. I think that's what they have next on the docket.
He's going to come home to meet the parents.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then they're going to have an awkward car ride.
And he's going to talk about Harleys, and they're going to be like, oh, we just sold our last Harley.
Pepe's one of those guys. I think he's got the gift of gab. I think it's pretty much impossible to have an awkward car ride with Pepe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, so he'll do what he needs to do to make sure that's smooth.
It'll be better than Ruka, that's for sure.
Yes.
That's exactly it. That's it.
I would not say Ruka has the gift of gab, no.
No, I mean, everyone has the gift of gab when you put them next to Ruka. But we cut now to Shimo Kitazawa. It looks like Pepe still has a studio apartment because he does his work there, right? And, you know, he's just on a phone call, you know, talking to his, I assume, managing editors. We get some shots of his manga. There's that shot of totally not Ruka. In his manga, you know, it's
oh my god, it's so Ruka. It's so Ruka.
Told y'all.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I kind of expected a bit of Spider-Man gear on him, but that works. I mean, I guess Marvel would copyright it, right? And you know, he's still in the search for an assistant, and they've only got two apps, and he doesn't get a vacation till New Year's, and I don't know. It just felt like, yep, that's the oppression of that field of work.
So
being a manga,
feeling the squeeze.
Important takeaway here: he still has his own place. We speculated about this long time ago, previous seasons. Like, all right, well, if they're just going to leave whenever they want, they clearly have to have somewhere to go, right? So is that part of like your contract or whatever you sign when you come on the Terrace House? Like, you have to maintain another place to live too at all times. You know, yeah, you'll live at Terrace House rent free, but that doesn't mean you're living rent free, right? Because he's still paying his rent. He's still paying all his bills. The place he has now, he has that on the side, you know?
Yeah, that would be my question is like, if you got to still hold a, you know, keep a place held down, are they paying you enough to cover that rent? Well, I'm sure they are.
I don't know.
Or are they covering that rent for you? But
he's got a job. It's just like we always ask that question. This scene pretty much confirms like, yeah, you have to keep a secondary place or at least be ready to move out at any time.
I would want to.
Yeah.
You have your own secondary place. I guess your own primary place.
Yeah, because you don't know, like, at what point, like, it's not going to work out.
Yeah, it seems like now it kind of changes things. Like, it seems like, okay, Terrace House now is everyone's second place, right?
Yeah, it's almost like it's a hotel. Mm. Like, you get a hotel to stay in, but we film you. Your payment is that we film you.
Interesting. I mean, I just thought it was interesting that they showed him back at his place again. And it makes sense. You want that quiet place to study when you're not getting enough attention at the dining room table and pissing Kaori off.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes me rethink of Armand, right? Because Armand is one of the few people I can think of in the house that traveled from another country to be on Terrace House, right? Mm-hmm. He most likely didn't have another place to stay, which might explain why he spends so much time in Terrace House, because that's literally his home, like right at that in those months.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And he, for a good while, was living off of Terrace House money. Mm. You know, like there was a good span where he didn't have a job,
breaking laws.
And then opening new doors when Sena came back, there was like a whole like very dramatic sequence of her like packing, like moving. So I think I think it's best if you have another place, but I think there is some precedence to Terrace House is the one place I have. Please don't make me hate it.
Don't kick me out.
Also, I'm glad you brought up Sana. I think we should shout out right now. I mean, as of today, what is today? Tuesday, February 11th, right? 2020. Sana and Noah still together, as far as I can tell. Oh, also, Yui and Io still together. You know, those are like crazy. The only two Terrace House relationships that ever happened that are still a thing as of the time of this show being published.
Yeah. That's the power of love. It took them 4 seasons, but we finally got it.
It's the power we got some of couples. Love.
Let's move on with the show here. We've got, we're on the first floor. It's around the evening, and Hana is cooking some this weird like chicken omelet soy sauce recipe thing.
I know this. This is oyakudon. I might be getting the word wrong, but it's parent and child because it's chicken and egg.
Oh,
dark. Morbid.
Okay.
But it's like a comfort food. It's nice.
Funny.
Okay.
With an uncomfortable name.
Would you like to have some parent and child bowl with me?
Yes.
That's basically what that means.
We can guarantee these two were related.
Yeah. We did blood tests.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Certificate of authenticity.
Yeah, we watched the hen lay an egg, and the second it laid the egg, we killed it.
We made sure the mother witnessed the murder.
Oh, my God.
It makes the meat taste better when there's fear in it.
The sadness, the fear and sadness. Oh my God.
What's your secret here? Absolute terror and fear. And some salt.
Which is why it costs more. The fear makes it cost more.
A little paprika too, just.
Yeah. It's the fear premium.
Okay.
The
fear premium.
Anyway.
Yeah. She cooks this dish with Ruka's help. And they have some dinner there, and then Emika comes in and they're all eating together, right? There's this scene where Emika is like, I want some rice, but if I take the rice, there's not enough for the next bowl. And then Ruka comes in, and there's just this kind of very mundane interaction between the two, which that's what makes Hana think, oh, they're into each other, or oh, are they dating? Are
they're
they an
just
item?
Talking.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get where she's coming from in that, like, when you have such a mundane conversation with someone, there's this implication of you're that comfortable with them, you know, or like a sense of comfort. But I mean, it could be so many other things.
It was Emika doing Ruka's hair, right? They're very much. It's a brother sister thing. It's just like what happened with Risako and Ruka. I think Ruka, I mean, he's a pretty boy. Mm. He's got a pretty face. I think, you know, he draws people in with his looks and then they become very comfortable very fast, and they usually become friends. That's what happened to Risako. I think there's no reason to think that that's not what's going to, the pattern that's going to repeat here with the other three girls in the house. But
yeah,
it also just shows that Hana is looking at everything through the lens of romance. She's got her blinders on, you know? So that's another reason why she would draw that conclusion, I feel.
Right. Haruka comes home, and then Ryo finally comes back home after being gone for like 9 days, right? Yeah, and it's a weird shot because we don't see Ryo come in, but we just get the shot of Hana, and then she's like covering her mouth, her eyes are wide open, staring at the Genkan, and it's like, what the fuck is happening here, right?
Dude. Intruder alert.
Who's this
guy? Maybe she didn't know like it was him.
Yeah, who's this tall 5'9" guy?
5'9"
Someone
guy.
Just like came in the house.
A towering 5'9".
Is this okay?
Yeah. Or maybe she's like, oh my God, you're so hot. Oh my
Kakoi.
God.
That's probably it. Before we get more into the scene, we didn't really discuss the scene where she shows everybody her outfit, did we?
I mean, yeah, we went over that a little bit.
Okay.
Like elbow drop Pepe and all that.
There's pictures, I guess, you know, out there. People
she
were
got
taking
nice booty
photos. Yeah. It's a cool outfit. I mean,
I just need to put that out there.
It does look like, you know, a superhero outfit, and you know, it was tailored for her specifically, and it looks it's a good look. So yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Did she say her wrestling name? Does she have one?
Is it not?
I mean, she has to have one.
She has to.
Yeah, is it a thing?
Okay, Daly, the man's real name isn't Undertaker. He's not like Undertaker Jones.
No, I know that, but that's American wrestling.
Some wrestlers.
What's your name? Undertaker Johnson.
You can either be The Rock, you know, Johnson. But some people, like Undertaker, for instance, that you have a nickname. Some people, just their regular name is their wrestling name, John Cena.
Yeah.
You know, things like that, too. So I don't know. Maybe Hana Kimura? Is that her last name?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's her wrestling name. I don't know yet.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm curious. Yeah.
This is, back to the table, this, ladies and gentlemen, is what love at first sight, or at least infatuation at first sight, looks like, man. She could not stop smiling. She was falling by the second.
Yeah, it was insane how immediately, pretty much, like, I feel like everyone at that table kind of knew, yep, that's, she's into him, basically. And they ask, and then he kind of very quickly gets over the fact that Cowdy is gone. He's like, oh no, that's so sad.
He's like,
oh no, that's so sad. But hi,
hello, hi.
Nice to meet you. Hajime Mashite. Like, I don't know. It didn't seem like he cared that much. And we can't blame him. He only knew Cowdy for a short time, right?
Like maybe a week or two.
He just learned it by looking, or by Ruka saying, hey, look at the chalkboard, right? That was quite the way to find that out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, really.
And then I love when he sits down. This is so good. This is just like a pretty classic, like, oh, he's a dumb jock moment, where Ruka asks, hey, are you free on the 8th? Because there's a match we want to see. And he's like, wait a minute. Did I forget about a game? Am I in a match?
Do I have a game?
Yeah, it's basketball game. You dummy. You dummy. What a doof.
He's like, oh, wait. Okay, you're a wrestler. He's a wrestler, yeah.
Yeah, so now all six of them are going to this wrestling match, one of them actually performing in the wrestling match, and Ryo says this classic thing, I'm a loud cheerer, so I hope that doesn't bother you. You know, I hope you still invite me to your next match, essentially.
He must have gotten bronze.
That's cute.
I'm pretty sure she blushed even harder than she already was when he said that.
I feel like Ryo must have gotten burnt sometime in the past for being a loud cheerer, because this is the second time he's apologizing in advance for how he is at live sports. And it's like, if you're going to go to a live sports event, why not get into it? Who wants to go with someone? They just sit there like, nice play.
Impeccable.
Yeah, you know?
Like, golf clap.
Yeah, golf like, yeah. Get into it. I think it's more fun that way, personally.
Yeah. Go athlete people.
Yes.
And do an athletic.
Also, I wouldn't want to. Yep, I've done this before. I do not recommend it. I don't want to get too big in the story, but go with people that actually give a shit about the game, and like at least they don't have to know the sport like intimately, but at least be interested in the fact that you are at a competitive event. You know, I've been to events with people who got free tickets. They didn't care, and they just sat there gossiping and talking and on their cell phones the whole time, and it wasn't any fun. So don't do that. Yeah,
then why even go?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And also, by the way, you are in danger of getting hit directly by a line drive foul ball where we are sitting, and so this is not the place to not pay attention.
Yes. That's terrifying.
Yes, it is. That's very scary. Because I was the only one watching.
And also in this scene, we get Ryo kind of following up with the thing he told the boys in the dank locker room. He wants to ask out the other girls, right? And it starts off with him asking Haruka how that gig with Dyson went. And he was like, oh yeah, you know, they tested out some hair dryers on me, whatever. And you know, he just says, oh, that must be why your hair looks so pretty today. And she's like, bitch, they only worked on like this little bit of my hair. Don't give half-hearted compliments. And
dang. It's like,
I loved that. I loved that.
That was sharp. And I loved it.
You loved it? I don't know. I thought he was just trying to be nice to her. And then she just like clapped back. It's like, dang, lady, take the compliment.
I don't know. I mean, because when you say shit like that, it's like, you got to mean it, you know? You can't just be like, oh, were you at the gym earlier? Because, man, you look fucking swollen. It's like, no, I just passed by the gym. Like, I didn't even work out today. Like, you know
maybe,
what I mean? It's
yeah,
like,
but maybe he thought her hair looked good. Like, in actuality, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I still think it's inappropriate. Like, it's not 100% like being like, oh, you're full of shit, shut up. It's still kind of like flirty almost. It's like, they only did this much of my hair.
Yeah.
I mean, I would do the same thing, like, like, I mean, I don't know. I came in one day to work and someone's like, hey, your hair looks nice. Did you like do something to it? And I'm like, no, this is literally like I woke up. I got out of bed.
Colin, someone like, was trying to flirt with you and you shut them down. Just saying.
I. Oh, well.
He's like,
flirt, oh, God, come flirt. Back. And also in this moment, this is where Ryo and Haruka make plans, like, hey, let's go get brunch tomorrow, right? So that's gonna happen.
this was the part where it was getting awkward for me too. The panel bring this up later, but it seemed like Haruka, at least from my point of view, was trying to make sure that they were excluding anyone from that event and treating it more like, oh, this is an opportunity to go on a one-on-one date rather than just be hospitable and be good roommates and invite anyone else that might be available. Hana, for instance.
Hana. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it even continues, right, where Haruka says, hey, I want to go to the convenience, or I need to go to the grocery store. I need to get some zucchinis. So face masks with Pepe, right? And Ryo just invites himself to this. Like, not only is he going with her to the store, but he's also like, oh, can I join with the face masks? Right?
I need to see this.
And that's a scene I need. It better not be another terrorist. If it is, I'm going to be so mad.
I'd be mad. Yep.
Could see it. We'll find out.
Yeah, it sounds like another terrorist material.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
So, I don't know. I think Ryo's definitely starting to make moves now that he's back in the house, right? Like, he's been gone for a while. He needs to get back in the game.
Man on a mission.
He's on a mission to date every woman in the house.
All the H words, I won't say it. I almost said it.
Uh-huh.
No. Quote, no, unquote. No,
all the not bros.
Sorry, guys. It's the drugs talking. Okay.
Final scene in this episode here. We're in the playroom where Ruka and Hana are together playing the Switch. I want to know what game they're playing, but, you know, whatever, right? And this is just where we see Hana behind the scenes, so smitten with Ryo.
Wow.
So taken with him. Wow. Oh, I wish I was wearing makeup. Oh, do you think he thought I was pretty?
So mad at herself for that.
I can't believe he's already seen my wrestling outfit. Oh, man.
Oh,
wow. Kakoi. Well,
that bit pretty damn obvious, girl.
She already, I have a feeling, because, you know, she wanted to see pictures of him without his face, you know, before she ever met him. So she already had formulated some sort of positive opinion of the guy before ever meeting him in person. And like, she even said, oh, he has a cool goatee. And listen, guys, I'm not trying to hate on anyone with a goatee out there. It's just been very rare where I've ever heard cool and goatee in the same sentence.
Like, put together.
Yeah. I'm not hating on it. You got to go see Rocket, but this is your moment to shine right now. But I just think that, you know, she was poised to have a positive, you know, disposition to him right away. And then when he did end up coming in the house and his face is handsome and he is as industrious as everyone, you know, has been priming her for, that was just like, man, set him up, knock him down. She's head over heels. And definitely, you know, Ryo is holding all the power right now in that dynamic.
She even said, his eyes look into your soul.
Dude.
Like, come on.
She's like, I had to keep looking away. And it's like, girl, this is like some high school doki doki.
She's in danger here of overselling this. She's got to calm herself. Calm herself.
Her expectations are...
Well, it just reminds me of that man. Who was the girl? Was it Ami Kumaro? I can't remember. Emmy Kumaro from O&D for Taka.
Well, Taka thought highly of her.
No. The girl that came in that was like programmed against Taka.
Aya.
Thank you.
Dang it.
It's just like, you know, like, don't do that. Like, I just don't want Hana like going on their first date. They go and they have dinner and then she makes the same mistakes that was made in that regard where she's like, I've just never had lunch with someone so cool before. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, we just met. Like, slow your roll. Yeah, calm down, please.
Lays it on too thick.
Yeah, because she's got a lot to be confident of herself. She's got a lot to bring to any relationship, and she needs to value that in herself. And again, not just like try and orbit around this one guy who she's built up this ideal of already before ever meeting him. You know, so I just can see the danger. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah. One thing I do want to point at this situation is Ruka is really shit at giving advice or consoling people. When she says, like, oh, she was kicking herself for not wearing makeup, or like, I wish I wore makeup, his response is something like, no one knew when he was arriving. Everyone knew when he was arriving. He explicitly said that this camp is going to be for 9 days. Like, everyone knew, Ruka.
Really?
Come on, man.
I didn't catch that. That's funny, though.
I don't know. It's just, he's definitely not the person to come to with your problems.
No,
he's the person you laugh at.
She'll figure it out.
Yes.
Eventually, to not, you know, confide in him too much or go to him for
trust
for information.
Don't trust Ruka.
Yeah,
you can trust him, but don't. Yeah, rely is probably the better way of putting it, for sure.
Yeah.
But with that, I think that that wraps up this episode. It's a slight cliffhanger. I mean, it's kind of hopeful, right? It's just, I want to see what happens next. Like we usually say at the end of these episodes. So if you have any questions, comments, theories, any good wrestling names you think would fit for Hana, let us know in by emailing us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. And also down in the description below or in the show notes, we have a link to our Buy Me a Coffee page, where if you like what we do here, if you think we're doing good work and you want to throw us a couple bucks, that would really help us out, because we want to help make the best show we can for you and for ourselves, right? And any bit of support is appreciated. But if not that, also, you know, just interacting with us on Twitter, commenting on YouTube, joining our Discord, all of that stuff, you know, every little bit helps us and helps us know that we're doing something right. You know,
or if we're doing something wrong,
let us know. Let us know.
Or wrong.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to all the new people in the Discord, y'all. We've been, the past, like, I don't know, 2 weeks probably. Gosh, we've gained at least 20 or so new people. Like, I feel like it's been growing like crazy.
Where are y'all coming from? We love you.
I don't know, but it's great to see more interaction, positive interaction, everyone being so nice to each other, getting excited about Terrace House and sometimes about our show too. That's really cool to see.
Yeah.
And K-pop.
Yeah. That K-pop dance party is a thing. And I'm being exposed to all new kind of music and I'm really appreciating it. And I'm burning some calories dancing too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So if you haven't already, we're fostering a pretty awesome community over here in Discord. So if you want to come join, please do so. The link's down below.
We will be back next Tuesday, as we always are. With episode 21 of Tokyo 2019-2020, Too Shy Girl. My bet's on Hana, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Chips are in.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, she has a duality about her, right? She's got her wrestler side, she's got her personal side. I can't wait to see that match though. And
same here. I hope it's this next episode. It better be this next episode.
Yeah, and maybe next week will be where we actually see Tokui's fantasy of the girls poking Ruka in the crotch happening over
pulling
and over
on
again.
His Ochinchin.
Yes.
Oh.
Watch it stretch.
Daily right now.
I was hoping we'd just buzz on by that, but all right.
How could I forget? Hey guys, let's take the next 20 minutes to talk about Ochinchin.
No, we're okay, bye.
This
itekimasu,
has been
y'all.
Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itekimasu.
Follow us on Instagram @Tadaimagram, on Twitter @TadaimaPod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and brand new Discord server, all linked in the show notes.